How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Saturday mornings with Jim Valley, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, Sundays with Andrew Zarian. It is Friday here on the show. You know what that means? Tonight is SmackDown. We got 5 segments announced for the show coming up here tonight. We'll tell you about that. Tomorrow, of course, is both Collision and NXT Vengeance Day, which we're going to talk about here today. And, of course, there's always the AAA show on Saturday night as well. And then, of course, Monday is Raw, which I'm going to live. Yes, I am going to go to Raw. And then the weekend after that is AEW Revolution. So a lot of stuff coming up. But today we got news, including the departure of the Road Dogg from WWE, which we talked about yesterday. We got more details today. Also an update on Steph DeLander, who has left TNA along with Mance Warner. And it was very briefly mentioned on TNA last night. I watched TNA. We're going to talk about that show today. Boy, was that the highs and lows of professional wrestling. So anyway, we'll get into that a little bit later on. Then we got an update on Janelle Grant. We got the start time confirmed for WrestleMania, which we actually knew a while back. Update on what Tony Khan thinks about the proposed purchase of Warner Brothers by Paramount. You'll be stunned to hear his reaction. We've also got an update, a lot of injury updates. Dustin Rhodes and Chelsea Green and Samoa Joe and got a new tag team name for Big Bill and Brian Keith. I guess they've stepped away from the learning tree. And plenty more. If you want, text us today, 425-780-7566. That is 425-780-7566. F4WOnline at gmail.com. F4WOnline Threads, Instagram, and Cameo. At Brian Alvarez X and Blue Sky. Filthy Tom joining us today. We will do a sponsorship snackdown. Back in a moment with more Observer Live. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Filthy Tom is joining us here today. What's going on, Tom?
Not too much, Brian. How are you doing today? It's a filthy fun Friday.
It sure is. My God, is it ever. Where in God's name do you get a hat like that? Fishing store?
Hey, I hear everybody's breaking out their finest hats, so I figured I'd pop one on for filthy, fun, fantastic Friday.
I had to get the headphones over that thing. That's always my problem. I'd wear more hats if I could figure that out.
They're underneath it.
Anyway. Well, we got a lot to talk about here today now, don't we?
Yeah, we should start it off.
With what?
We should pop the top.
Nah, we're going to save that for later.
Oh.
That's the main event.
You always...
I can't bring myself to put the sponsorship snackdown over news involving Janelle Grant and Vince McMahon. So that must lead. Janelle Grant and her attorney testified before the Connecticut Labor and Public Employees Committee on Monday. Grant and attorney Erica Nolan urged lawmakers to pass legislation that would prevent the use of workplace NDAs to silence victims of misconduct. During the testimony, she said she filed a police report within the past week due to online intimidation tactics she believed could have jeopardized her safety. She said police took a report and contacted WWE regarding the matter. Grant added that the police report notes WWE never responded to the officer's call. This past week alone, she said, I filed a police report because I noticed some intimidation tactics online playing out that were potentially going to pose a threat and jeopardize my safety in some way that I could not ignore. I called the police. They took a report. The officer reached out to WWE and to the state. When I got the report yesterday, WWE did not return the police officer's phone call. This is the second time in recent weeks Grant has made a public appearance to address the issue of workplace NDAs. Her attorney also spoke, for someone bound by an NDA, intimidation does not have to be loud or obvious. It can be as simple as a letter from a lawyer reminding a victim of what they sign. In Ms. Grant's case, however, the intimidation has been both loud and obvious. She has faced public retaliation, exposure of her personal information, witness intimidation, even public mockery on national television of what she experienced. This is not about punishing employers. It's about protecting workers here in Connecticut. So what is she saying happened with WWE? In this past week, WWE did something that she considered a threat and she called the police. There are a lot of missing details here.
It sounds to me like, yeah, she was faced with some sort of intimidation tactics online, maybe from people she perceives have been hired by WWE in some level or represent them, contacted the police. The police contacted WWE and didn't hear back.
Yes. So now what? That's the question.
Sounds kind of alarming.
Is that the end of it? Are they going to... I mean, if WWE hasn't called back, I mean...
How could it be the end of it? Isn't this lawsuit...
Well, I mean, I'm talking ongoing? About this particular issue.
Well, could this not be a factor in the lawsuit?
Well, I mean, here's my question, okay? If WWE is accused of something, a police report is filed, and then WWE is called about it, and they don't call back, why would that just be the end? You know what I'm saying? It's like, if I'm accused of stealing a car, and the police come to my door, and they bang on the door, and I don't answer the door, do they just, like, go away and never come back? Like, shouldn't there be more to it? Anyway, that's the latest. A very weird story, and...
It is possible that, I mean, the police maybe don't think there's enough evidence.
Yes, it would have to either be that the WWE doesn't believe that there is enough evidence that WWE is responsible for anything, or there will be a follow-up by the police. I think those are the only two options. So I guess this would be one to follow. Also, yesterday we talked about Road Dogg. He resigned, it says, from his role as co-lead writer of SmackDown. According to PW Insider, James informed WWE in person he was resigning. The outlet said WWE sources indicate James, quote, openly expressed his unhappiness. Well, I would think so. He quit. He remains under a Legends contract. Are you aware that, do you know who else is under a Legends contract, speaking of Road Dogg?
Billy Gunn.
He is the one person in this business who is under contract to both WWE and AEW at the same time. Billy Gunn. So he started working backstage in 2011, creative team 2014, lead writer in SmackDown 2016 through 2019, worked with NXT 2019 to 2022, and brought back... that August by Triple H, was the co-lead writer of SmackDown, a role he shared with John Swicata. I think there was something going on where, like, I don't know. I feel like there was something that happened in the summer where, like, his role was downplayed a little bit or something like that.
I believe it was around SummerSlam, around August. He went from being the lead writer on SmackDown to being the co-lead writer.
Is that
and then
it
the
was?
Guy that was writing Raw was the co-head on both shows.
Yeah.
I believe.
Then we got
And now this I'm sorry, I can't remember her name, but the female that was promoted Monday is the lead writer.
She is the lead writer of Raw.
So there's now a separate lead writer for Raw and a separate lead writer for SmackDown, which was not the case prior.
Yes.
Okay.
And as we talked about yesterday, I mean, hey, listen, I got nothing against, you know, I don't like seeing anybody fired. I'm happy for promotions and everything like that. But this to me feels like, you know, there's 36,000 tickets out for WrestleMania. I did the math the other day. They're selling like
70 a day, I think.
70 tickets a day. And it's like, well, who's going to go down? Not the ticket prices. We got to bring some people down. You know, I don't think the show is going to get measurably better with Road Dogg gone. I don't think that he was drastically hurting the caliber of... Because SmackDown's been fine. It's been fine of late. It's too long, but any three-hour show is too long. You know, it's not like it was January to June last year. That was an atrocity.
Listen, let me put it this way.
I can't
the slow
take
ticket
your...
sales are not Road Dogg's fault.
No, they're not. Every time we go to you, I'm trying to like take you seriously, and I can't.
I could barely talk during that Janelle Grant segment because I'm wearing this freaking hat.
Thank you for not. Steph DeLander is gone from TNA. She told a TMZ that Carlos Silva, the TNA president, informed her Monday the company was not going to allow her to wrestle again following spinal surgery in October. She said, I actually went to WWE's spinal surgeon to do the surgeries. I got clearance a few weeks ago. Received a call on Monday this week that basically they never want to let me wrestle at TNA again. They just didn't feel comfortable with that. Made the decision to leave. My husband did too in solidarity. I was like, well, I'm literally fully cleared. And she says Carlos Silva told her, yep, not into it. And I said, do you know what my injury is? He had no idea. He couldn't tell me what my injury was. It's definitely based off personal feelings. I've not been evaluated by any medical professional in the TNA end. They haven't evaluated my medical history, haven't contacted my surgeon, haven't looked at any of my medical stuff. Just they made a personal decision. She mentioned in the interview she had a second surgery that was not previously known, saying the surgeon wanted to, quote, put a little more hardware in my neck. She said she paid for both of her surgeries and physical therapy. Insurance maxed out. I currently have a $9,000 Advent health bill sitting here. Mentioned she had a one-level fusion. Had a one-level cervical spinal fusion, C5-C6. The most basic, straightforward neck surgery so many wrestlers in WWE and AEW have had. And fully recovered and returned to the ring. I did not break my neck, she said. That's not what happened. But they didn't want to use her anymore. And I guess we'll follow up and see where they ended up being. But I think the idea is after what happened to Chris Bay, they're just being, like, super careful would be my presumption. But we can talk more about this after the break, Observer Live.
Yeah, shame.
You're clear.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Filthy Tom is joining us today. We're going to do a sponsorship snackdown in the next segment, Tom. What have you got on your head?
I'm ready to do that sponsorship snackdown whenever you are, my friend.
Well, after
do it right now.
I got to do it after the break because it's downstairs. I'm not sure I refrigerated it either now that I think about it. This might get a bad review. You want to tell everyone what we're doing as a teaser for the next segment?
An energy drink.
Which one?
Well, that's a teaser.
Okay, fine.
Do you want me to bury the lead?
An update is available regarding Tony Khan's decision to the proposed purchase of Warner Brothers by Paramount. Do you know what his response was, Tom?
He's ecstatic.
Okay. I don't know if you knew or you just guessed and you were 100% correct.
Much like everything else involving this man's business, he is ecstatic about it. He is happy. He's excited. He's pumped up. Let's effing go.
Dave Meltzer addressed the president's reaction to the news in this week's edition of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, the AW president, not Trump. Noting that while Khan was said to be, quote, thrilled with the news, others believe Paramount could, due to pressure from TKO, given its contracts with UFC and Zuffa Boxing, move to get rid of AW. Dave wrote, the most important news story in wrestling, as far as the future and viability of AW, is just a tiny piece of the puzzle in the proposed Paramount purchase of WBD. There's a ton of speculation as to what it means. Those close to Tony Khan say that he was thrilled when the news came out, feeling this was the best possible scenario for him. Others are claiming it's a death knell because Paramount, either to cut back on costs or due to pressure from TKO, given they have contracts with both UFC and Zuffa Boxing, will get rid of TKO's only real significant wrestling competition. David Ellison has said the plan is for HBO Max and Paramount Plus to merge into a single streaming service. According to a report from January, HBO Max has 135 million worldwide subscribers, 59 million in the U.S. Paramount has 79 million worldwide, 35 in the U.S. And we shall see what happens because no one knows right now, everybody. Nobody knows.
It's crazy. I'll be living in a virtual insanity if we have UFC leading into AEW on Paramount Max, whatever you want to call it. Did you see the news, Brian? You probably didn't. That ESPN, because you mentioned Zuffa Boxing there, ESPN is back in the boxing game.
Is that right?
Yes. I didn't see this coming, but MVP, Most Valuable Promotions, the Jake Paul company, signed a deal with ESPN to launch MVP Women's, which will be airing on ESPN.
So, really?
Yeah. big deal. ESPN, I thought, was out of boxing after they dropped Top Rank, but they're back in.
You know, I don't like...
Holly Holm will be headlining one of the shows.
I don't like to argue with trolls or anything like that, but, you know, when Mark Davis... actually, his partner got hurt, and I was like, you know, I don't know about Mark Davis, because normally when people get hurt, you know, their partners and everything get iced. How dare I say something like that? I got bombarded. That never happens! What are you talking about? Where is MVP and Shelton Benjamin after Lashley got hurt? Where are they at?
I thought Lashley wasn't hurt.
Well, he claims he's not hurt, but he disappeared off television apparently due to an injury or whatever. And I haven't seen Shelton. Shelton just posted a picture of himself in the gym, so it looks like he's healthy. Haven't seen MVP. Sounds to me like they got iced.
The last time we saw Shelton, was it when he walked out of the tunnel crying? Oddly. Do you remember that?
Like, I think...
He was getting some huge reaction during his entrance.
No, well, I remember the story, but he claimed he wasn't crying. He got sprayed with water, like, right in the eye when he came out the ramp. That's what he claimed. Hey, speaking of...
Have we seen him since then?
I don't think so. Seems like he got iced because his partner got injured. I could be wrong. I mean, I remember it happening also with Kip Sabian and Shayna when Nick went down. They vanished. And I'm sure there's plenty more, but God forbid I make comment.
You're going to hear it on the board.
I hear it all the time. Everything is perfect. Everything is great. You know it's great? You want me to rave about AEW? I got one for you. Big Boom AJ has revealed that he will be returning to the AEW ring soon. He will be at Revolution. And it says to this point, there's no build to any match, either on AEW, Ring of Honor, or the company's social media accounts. But AJ says he's going to be there. He was lifting weights when he said this. So you get in. That's how you get in condition to wrestle. You lift weights. And no opponent yet, but somebody messaged me. Hold on.
You're saying that tongue-in-cheek, but do we have to go back and look at the history of wrestling and how many circus strongmen also wrestled? Like, you're saying that like it's actually not part of the game, but
it's part of the game. It does get
you in condition. It helps fortify your body against taking bumps. You're gonna get on this guy for lifting weights?
I'm not getting him for lifting weights.
Get out of here.
It's more than a cosmetic business, everybody, especially nowadays.
I was given the suggestion. I've had to listen to you guys goon over Bruno Sammartino lifting weights for years, and now Big Boom AJ can't get his bench press on.
Why can't you yell at Dave and not me?
Because I'm not on the show with him.
Now, can I get to my point? Somebody suggested an opponent for Big Boom AJ, and when I heard it, I thought, God dang it. I'd watch the pre-show for this match.
Roosh.
Yes!
No way!
Yeah!
No!
Yes!
So, who do I need to talk to that has the same taste as me?
I'm telling you, dude, I heard that and I was like, oh my God. Roosh versus Big Boom AJ? Bro, I swear to God, I would watch the pre-shows.
Who suggested
that? And I never, ever watch these pre-shows. I was talking to someone when the word came out about his knee. He's back in action. He rehabbed his knee and apparently feels great. Avoided surgery. And
oh man, I have got to see the Rizzler take that bull's horns in the corner.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
there'd be Skittles spitting out through the arena. There'd be Twinkies flying in the seats,
guys. Listen.
Chocolate chip cookies,
hey,
crushed all over the ground.
I was very critical of one thing, by the way. One thing on Dynamite I was critical of, and I'm the worst guy in the world. But anyway, they announced that coming up on Collision this coming Saturday night, there is a four-way tag. LFI, Roosh and Dralistico versus The Swirl, The Outrunners, and Private Party. And listen, I'm a big fan of the Outrunners, but they're like on Ring of Honor all the time. Private Party, there's like one team they can have a good match with. It's the Young Bucks. I'm being somewhat, I don't want to bury the guys, but When they're in with the Young Bucks, they're awesome. They're never that awesome with anybody else. Am I wrong about that? That's fair. And then the Swirl, who are a very talented team, but none of these teams need to be beating Roush and Drillistico. So Saturday, Tony, if you're listening, this is your chance, brother. Shoot the angle right after Roush and Drillistico win this four-way. Bring out Big Boom AJ and the Rizzler and set it up, man. I'm ready. Big Boom and the Rizzler against Roush and Drillistico on the pre-show.
The Rizzler doesn't wrestle. The Rizzler does commentary.
No, he can wrestle. Like, give it to me.
No, actually, no. I don't think he physically can.
All right. SmackDown is tonight. Drew McIntyre. I still can't stop thinking about this match. Drew McIntyre against Cody Rhodes for the WWE title, which, of course, will set up something for WrestleMania. And, man, they need to set some stuff up for WrestleMania because these tickets ain't moving. Rhea Ripley against Jade Cargill. Actually, she's against Jade Cargill at Mania. They're having a face-to-face tonight. Carmelo Hayes brings back the Open Challenge. We got new number one contenders to the tag titles being decided. How? I don't know. That's just what they said. And Nia and
Who's
Lash
the
Legends. Well,
the MFTs? Yeah.
Yeah, I think the
we don't know which MFTs are.
No, just some of them. And Nia and Lash celebrate their tag team title win. So that'll be coming up tonight. Saturday's Vengeance Day, Joe Hendry, Ricky Saints. Izzy, Dame, Tatum, Paxley. Blake Monroe versus Jada Parker, street fight. Tony D versus Deion Lennox. And God darn it, Lola Vice and Kalani Jordan in an NXT Underground match.
Dude, after what we saw Kalani Jordan do to Shayna Baszler.
Stop. Don't
how
even.
Does Lola
don't
Vice
even.
Get any chance?
Don't.
She backflipped over
bro,
to kick.
Bro, it's bad enough that you're even wearing the hat. Can you stop? My expectations for this match, I swear to God, my expectations for this match are Butterbean and Suzuki. If
buddy,
it's any better, I'm going to be thrilled.
I got another thing for you.
Yes.
Why'd Kalani Jordan go train with Shayna Baszler when Lola Vice beat Shayna Baszler in an underground match?
I don't know. I don't know.
Like, not like Shayna Baszler won. She Lola Vice beat her.
Should have trained with the Ren QCC if she really wants to learn how to do this. I mean, golly.
Did you see the cast of LFG Season 3?
I have
announced
not.
Today? Who's Kendall it? Gray is on it. Ilio LaFleur.
As a trainer?
No. It appears that they're... Like Nikita
Stop.
Lyons is on it.
Stop.
I swear, you got to look at the list. I don't know what they're doing with the show, but it was announced on their Instagram.
God. Listen, we're going to go to a break. I'm going to go downstairs and get the energy drink, and we'll be back in a moment with more Observer Live. You know, everybody, this Fun Friday show is so fun. I'm making it free for everybody. That's right. So if you're listening to this, you already know it's free. But if you love the show, you should really sign up. We got a lot of different options to get 84 shows just like this every month. 84 shows a month. Not one a week. Not even one a day. I do two shows every day on average. Sometimes, like on Wednesdays, I do three. Every single day. Listen during your commute. At the gym. Don't listen to the Granny Show at the gym. Anywhere. Do you like listening to stuff? You should be listening to our show. We got many options. If you want 18,000 shows dating back to 2005, 18,000 shows covering everything in the last, 21 years? WrestlingObserver.com has the full archives. Plus, you get the board. You get Dave Meltzer's Wrestling Observer newsletter every week. You get the archives of The Observer going back to the 80s. There's like 25 billion words on wrestling. As a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com, you should check that out. And if you only want the podcasts and you want to save a little money, $9.99 a month for Apple Podcast, Spotify, as well as YouTube. And Spotify and YouTube, you can get the audio and video. You can see what in God's name do you have on your head now. What is that?
It's another hat. Are you that?
Are you your own mother?
Non-versed in hats.
So anyway, f4wonline.com/apple, $9.99 a month. at 4wonline.com.
I'll tell you that much.
/Spotify, $9.99 a month, audio and video. At 4wonline.com /YouTube, $9.99. Live video of all the shows. So sign up today, everybody. You won't miss it. Now, Tom and I are going to do a sponsorship snack down. And I'm very happy to getting some caffeine in me because I need it for this TNA report I'm about to do. I was putting up the post for Brian and Vinny last night, and I was trying to do a headline that explained something about Dynamite and NXT, and I had excellent Dynamite because it was. And I was like, I don't want to say like horrible NXT because it's not horrible. Like there was stuff on it that I liked, but there was also, and I came up with vaudeville edition of NXT. And then I watched Impact and I was like, God, they're both vaudeville. That's the only word I can use to describe last night's TNA, vaudeville. It's just like, you didn't watch any of it, did you?
Not after the report you sent me.
Oh my God. I literally almost shut it off a half hour in. I was like, this is worse than NXT. I can't take it. But I stuck with it and it ended up being better by the end. But still, whoa. Let's do the sponsorship snackdown. What do we got?
Well, I looked through the annals of WWE sponsors that are out there, and you know, one that we have not tried and that I found branded purposely for me and for us was this C4 energy drink. Now, I was able to procure a Berry Powerbomb C4 energy drink. You can see the WWE logo proudly presented right there as I, there we go. I'm helping out my constituents.
Thank you.
In the shareholders by getting this on air there. But my drink says, much like the WWE, then now together forever. There is a tri-stim experience when you drink this, Brian. 300 milligrams of caffeine plus teacrine and dynamine.
What the hell is teacrine?
Is the ultimate triple
threat.
Did
they spell creatine wrong?
Step into the ring. Experience what happens when tangy cranberry collides with sweet lemonade. That sounds good. And enjoy an undisputed and legendary taste experience.
What is teacrine?
I don't know.
Like, do you think they actually spelled it wrong, or is that a thing?
No, I looked on the ingredients before, and it just says theacrine.
Oh, theacrine.
Presented as teacrine.
What?
Don't think too hard about it. That's why I didn't go over it.
I'm trying not to.
But let me tell you, it also says zero synthetic dyes, zero sugar, 300 milligrams of caffeine, C4 is supercharged to go hard, just like you.
All right, try it.
Crack one open and get after it.
Try it.
Berry Powerbomb coming at you.
Do it. It's not good to chug that, dude.
Oh. You're telling me. Holy crap. Oh, my back hurts. My neck is killing
dude,
me.
Dude, you're turning red. You're about to have a heart attack.
Oh, my organs are rattling on the insides.
Why did you
feels
do that?
Just like a power bomb.
God, get out of here. Theacrine is a purine alkaloid, which acts as a natural stimulant, enhancing energy, mental focus, and motivation without the crash, jitters, or habituation that comes
with. Yeah, right.
So you're telling me it's got 300 milligrams of caffeine and another stimulant?
Look at me. I'm having the jitters right now on air.
You have the jitters because you had 300 milligrams of caffeine just right now. You chugged it. And you had some theacrine. God.
Holy crap.
Well, as you recover, I looked everywhere. And I could not find a WWE version. I went to the grocery store. I went across the street to the gas station. I went to another grocery. And I was like, finally, I can't find any. I'm just going to get whatever looks good. So I got C4 Performance Energy Popsicle Grape. And this one, I don't know if it has theacrine in it. But it does have carnosin, which is trademarked. God only knows what that is. Beta-alanine, and 200 milligrams of caffeine.
I don't want to drink any carnal sins.
So I'm going to try this right now. I did put it in the refrigerator, by the way. So I was like doing this. Yeah. You ready? It looks good on the can, but we're going to see how it tastes. I'm not chugging it, though. You ready? I almost dropped an F-bomb. That's pretty freaking good, dude.
I told you that one was going to be good. I knew it by the looks of
that
can.
That is good. Wow. Not bad at all. I'm going to have a little bit more. Can you imagine we get paid nothing for this sponsorship Snackdown?
I almost died on air, so yeah.
If anybody at C4 is listening, I'll drink one every day before the show. Because there's nothing better than getting hopped up on caffeine and talk about TNA.
I can think of quite a few things.
All right.
What did you get this on with this TNA report? Because I got to go put up a barn by sundown.
You're an idiot. You look like you need to be knitting. All right. TNA Impact. We're not going to do a full report because I watched it in a stupor. I couldn't even take notes. It opened up with we were told the cast of Mama June was in attendance.
Never saw that show?
What is Mama June? I feel like it's you right now.
Nah, she's like one of these celebrity moms who tortured her daughter.
A celebrity mom who tortured her daughter is the celebrity in attendance at Impact? All right. So anyway, first...
It was Perez Hilton last time.
We had Ariana Grace and Jody Threat for the Knockouts title. This was not good. It was not good. And Ariana Grace got the win when they got in a, I think they got like in a tug of war over the Cobra. And then Ariana kicked her in the ribs and rolled her up and pinned her. It was very bad. And then we go to the Elegance brand coming out. And they make fun of Mickey James, who I guess returned maybe on one of the shows I didn't see on the cruise. And then they see Mama June, and they start cutting a promo on Mama June. And they tell her to go stand in line in front of a food truck. Do you know what happened after that? After they told her to go stand in line in front of a food truck? I swear to God, it's like, say his name and he appears with Joe Hendry. You say the word food truck, and ODB magically appears. Because, of course, she runs a food truck now. Do you remember ODB?
Yeah.
When was the last time you saw her?
A couple years ago. She popped back up in TNA during the pop and Destination America years. I think I've seen her since then as well.
Well, all I know is I haven't seen her in a while. But she comes out for this segment. I think she's like 48 years old, 49 years old. I think she's about my age. And as God is my witness, she looks exactly the same as she looked 20 years ago when she was like in Ohio Valley. And then I think she went to WWE maybe for a while or whatever. Looks exactly the same. So the key to longevity is run a food truck, everyone. Then we had Brian Myers, Bear Bronson versus Vincent and Dutch.
47 years old.
Versus BDE and Rich Swann versus Sinner and Saint. And this is a four-way tag match. It was fun, you know. They just did a lot of big moves and wild stuff. And Brian Myers and Bear Bronson won. I got nothing bad to say about this match. It was a good match. And Brian Myers and Bear Bronson will get a future shot at the TNA tag titles. But the most notable thing about this match is BDE. Like, they didn't introduce anybody. They go to commercial. They come back. And the four guys are in the ring and the match starts. No graphic, nothing. So we have to wait as the announcers try to fill us in on who everybody is if you don't know. And BDE, the YouTube guy, is teaming with another guy. And I'm looking at this guy and he's bald, shaved face, but like he's good. And I'm like, who is this guy? I have no earthly idea who this guy is. I'm just like, who is that? And the announcers start talking about Rich Swann. And I'm like looking around the ring and I'm like, where's Rich Swann? What are you guys talking about? It turns out this guy is Rich Swann. And so my first thought is, God, what happened over the last couple of weeks where, like, he lost a hair match or whatever? And it turns out, like, apparently he just showed up at the building. He had shaved his head. He had shaved his face. Completely unrecognizable. I had no idea who it was. And, like, I'm just watching the whole match and I'm just like, what happened? He just woke up one day and shaved his head and beard. And then he's, like, out there and, you know, having a good match and everything. But it was baffling. It's like something like this would only happen in TNA. So we had a Moose promo. And all I can think is, like, you know, this guy's getting turned on by Alicia Edwards. It's coming. Hadn't happened yet, but it's coming. We had Elena Black and
I don't like that. I'm not a fan of that storyline. Like, how could you be managing?
Tom! Why do you have all these hats?
How could you be managing?
I need a drink.
Moose, but then you are also in a... You have to go home to your husband who's feuding with him? I just don't believe it.
I need to put absinthe in this. Elena Blake and Mara Sade had a match. Two former TNA wrestlers. And it was there. And the most notable thing about it is... Like, God bless her, but I don't know what to do with Elena Black. Because... Mara Sade, like, out-wrestled her, like, wrestled rings around her. And Elena, I don't know, man. She's like, I don't know.
Well, let me be fair here. Like, we see video and pictures of Mara Sade training quite frequently.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it looks like the break's already here. Apparently we drank too long. I'll talk about the main event and the aftermath after the break. Observer Live. Okay, I got to finish this report because the last 30 minutes was the best and worst of TNA. So the main event is Leon Slater and Nick Nemeth, okay? And they had a really good match. It's for the X Division title. Leon Slater's a champion. And they go back and forth. Everyone looks great. Ryan Nemeth tries to interfere, and Leon Slater foils him, hits his Senton 450, and he had just pinned Nick Nemeth clean. He, like, puts his knee on the guy's face and poses in the camera, and one, two, it was like, he beat this dude. And I was just watching this thinking, sometimes this is the most incompetently booked show I've ever seen. And even these people know to push Leon Slater. Like, you look at the TNA usage of Leon Slater compared to what NXT did with Javon, and it's like, TNA figured this out, guys. You guys couldn't figure this out, but TNA did. How does that make you feel? Then, we had the worst of TNA. So they have the Feast or Fired concept, where if you get a certain briefcase in this match, you end up opening it up. It says you're fired like you're fired. So Steve Macklin got the fired briefcase. He gets fired. So he ends up, after he gets fired, he goes to say goodbye to everybody. And then he turns heel. He beats up Mike Santana. And he beats up Tom Hannifin, the announcer. Just runs roughshod and everything like this. And of course, you know, Santana, he demands revenge against this guy. And the end of the show has Daria coming out, and she literally announces that she likes the idea of him being reinstated. So she announces that Steve Macklin has been reinstated, thus killing the Feast or Fired stipulation.
What?
Yep. And then it gets better. Santino comes out after they reinstate Steve Macklin. And Santino the babyface announces the main event of the next pay-per-view is, in fact, Steve Macklin versus Mike Santana. Mike Santana gets his revenge for the title.
Wow. Fantastic.
And the show ends, I swear to God, with Tom Hannifin cutting a promo into the camera talking about, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Not only did this guy get reinstated after being fired, but he's being rewarded with a title match. And that's how the show, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. That's how the show ended. The main announcer
he buried the show that he was on.
And the booking. And the main event of the next pay-per-view. At least you don't have to end up like Shelton Benjamin, crying because some got thrown in your eyes. We'll talk to you next time, Wrestling Observer Live.